because we are bringing this guidance of the Holy Spirit to a close. So we go into looking at the gifts of the Spirit, the gift ties, the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. It's very important that the church, every Christian, should know about it and also be a vessel through which those gifts are manifested. So we are bringing this guidance to a close, but I want you to know that guidance of the Holy Spirit is a very important topic. The Bible said, as many as are led by the Holy Spirit, they are what? They are what? Sons of God. And you don't have any other way to live this Christian life except as you are led by the Spirit of God. Because you cannot be led by the devil. You cannot be led by your mind. Cannot be led by your flesh. And so this is the only option that we have. And our Lord Jesus Christ confirmed this in John chapter 10, verse 27. When he said, in John 10, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. My sheep hear what? My voice. That's the first thing he says about his sheep, that they hear his voice. Now, he didn't say some of my sheep. And this is what the devil has been trying to deceive people, to think that there are people who hear God and there are people who don't. And so when he deludes you and deceives you with that kind of thing, he sets you up for deceit. Because when you believe that you don't hear God, then you believe there are people who are holier than you, who hear God and perhaps have a title of prophet, he will lead you astray. There is no scripture that says, some of my sheep hear my voice and others don't. So if the Bible says, my sheep hear my voice, if I'm a sheep and you are a sheep, shouldn't you hear his voice? Come on, talk to me. And if I can hear his voice and you can hear his voice, should I leave my house and come to you? I shouldn't leave my house and come to you. I should go to him directly and say, Lord, I have issues here. I want instructions what to do. Because he said, I hear his voice. It's all this lack of understanding of the fact that God has no favorites. God has no preferred people. All the people pretending to be because they're anointed, they're superior to you, it's a lie. It's a lie. Because everything God is doing is an act of grace. Even the calling, Paul, the great apostle, he said, when God called me by his grace, in my mother's womb, by his mercy, Paul didn't come to this world to qualify to be called. He said, God called me even before I was born. So the calling wasn't because I became a big guy in the eyes of God. No, it was divine plan. And God, he humbly called it that it was a call of grace. It was a call of grace. What is grace? Unmerited what? So he said the call, I don't even merit it. So we cannot be intimidated by the devil, making us think that we're inferior, The Bible makes it clear that God is no respecter of persons. It's equal playing ground for everybody. So the issue of hearing God, you must settle it in your heart today that you also can hear who? God. Because the moment you think you can't, then you can, even when God is talking, you will hear because you think, God can't talk to me. He talks only to pastors. I haven't had a scripture that says God talks only to pastors. I haven't had a scripture that God says, the Bible says God talks to prophets alone. I haven't had one single scripture in that direction. And while we're at it, I want to remind us again that the office of the prophet in the New Testament is not to guide you. If you go to prophets to guide you, you're already deceived. The prophet's office was not set up by God to guide you. You can't find in the whole New Testament where the prophet guided anybody. It's not there. They can tell you what will happen, but they will not give you guidance. They won't tell you what to do. Why? Because my sheep, what? Who among us being parent, you want to guide your children, then you prefer some of them to others. That's bad parenting. And God is a good father. So you must be convinced today, even if you have had doubt before, you must be convinced today that you are a child of God that is as good as any other child of God. Because by grace we were all saved. And that not of ourselves. Praise the Lord. So Jesus said, my sheep hear what? My voice. And then I know them. And then the third thing is that they now follow me. Because you can't follow him when you don't hear his voice. So discipleship depends entirely on your ability to know what God is telling you. And so we talked about guidance by the inward witnessing, which we said is the most common way that God guides us. The commonest way that God guides all his children, guides me and guides you, is by the inward what? Witnesses. And what is it? Is it a voice? Huh? Is it a voice? So it's not a voice. Ah, you're not sure. Is it a voice? Okay, how many people say it's not a voice? Let me see. Okay, how many people think it's a voice? If you don't think it's not a voice, and then you don't think, so what is it now? Okay, so it's not a voice, right? Is it a voice? It's not a voice. Is it a feeling? It's not a feeling. It's not a feeling. Feeling is the language of your flesh. This spirit has no feeling. Spirits have no feeling. Spirits are not human. They have no feeling. They don't feel hungry. They don't feel tired. They don't feel weak. They have no feeling at all. So it's not a feeling. And if it's not a voice, and it's not a feeling, so what is it? Assurance of what? Peace that the Holy Spirit gives you. That what you are doing is the will of God for you. Is that assurance? Do you people remember that we talk about assurance of salvation? Where did the language come from? You know, we say a lot of things we don't even know what it means. We tell people, we teach it, we even teach it in Sunday school. I'm going to teach you assurance of salvation. What are you talking about? You're talking about the same thing the scripture says, that the Spirit of God gives you assurance that you are saved. So that when people think to come to deceive you that you are not saved, you are supposed to do this and this. No, you have that peace within you that you are what? Saved. We call it assurance of salvation. So it's that peace that the Holy Spirit gives you when you want to decide to go right or left. That the Bible calls it the peace of God that passeth what? It will guard your heart. It is peace of God. It's not peace of men. It's God that gives you that inner peace that this is the right thing to do. Now, you can have that peace and have turmoil in your head. You can have that peace and still have what? Fear in your head. Because this thing doesn't look like what you should do. But somehow inside, you have this peace that you can't even explain it. Has anybody had that experience before? And because you don't know why this thing should be right, you still have confusion where? In your head. And then you have these unbelieving believers who are Christians who visit you, and they walk by sight to you, and you begin to blab and open your mouth and tell them, they confuse you the more. Because they will bring the reason in and say, don't do that kind of, you know. People that do it, they don't get job. When we came to this country, the thing that was popular was computer studies or something. We didn't know networking when we came. It's just computer. Yeah. So they said everybody must do computer. Everybody. Before long, computer. Then nursing came. So those who did computer rushed to nursing. Did you know that if one followed the Holy Spirit, he would tell you exactly what he wants you to do, that he will use you for? In the midst of that, whether that thing looks like it pays or doesn't pay, he will show you exactly the mind of God for you. This is what you should do. And when you do that, God will use it. But you know, we're all following the popular thing. And then the Lord said to you about that at that time, don't follow that. You have this, because everybody is following it. And here you are. So that's how it's not feeling. Because sometimes, most of the time, when God's Spirit gives us guidance, we really don't feel good about it because we don't know why. Are you following me? If you are following me, say amen. Don't know why. When my wife was praying to God to give her a man who will teach her and help her to make heaven. That was her prayer as a young girl. That was her prayer. She even was fasting. Said, God, I want to marry a man who will help me, who will help me know God and help me to make heaven. Then when she married me, I didn't look like one. In fact, I looked the opposite. My brother-in-law was telling me how I gave him beer. He said, I've never had that quantity of beer before. He said, brother, I remember the beer you gave me. I said, yeah, that was dead. So how can somebody give somebody that amount of beer be the one who teach you to make heaven? You see why it's not feeling? It's not feeling at all. But God says, I know the end from what? I know where this guy is going. I know where he's going. Forget about that. I know where he's going. And then God brought me to her. I didn't look like a Christian for where? Pastor. Talk of Christian first before you talk of. But that's how the guidance of God is, not feeling. Sometimes it doesn't make sense. Most of the time, believe you, it doesn't really make sense. Okay, God said, I've healed you and you have symptoms. How does it make sense? He said, I've healed you now, but the symptoms are still, and sometimes it's worse. In fact, most of the time, it gets worse because the devil will see to it. How does it make sense? And God says, hey, my wisdom is foolishness to me. So that peace of God doesn't depend on what? No, your feelings, not your feelings. Doesn't depend on your intelligence. Only God knows what you don't know. And he will guide you a step at a time. Praise the Lord. So what my wife asked for, is it happening now? In fact, the Lord told her after many years, this is my wife, I think I'll do Mother's Day for you special. After God of mercy, after some years, the Lord went to her and said, don't worry about this man. He's a pastor. And she came and told me. I laughed. I laughed her to scorn. I said, you have malaria. I said, do I look like a pastor? I said, tell me the truth. Do I look like a pastor? I said, look at me from here to there. Tell me how I look like a pastor. I said, well, the people that came to this world to make money. I said, God created me to be a millionaire. So I said, don't you like money? I've never seen any woman who doesn't like money. I said, don't worry, when I make money, you'll forget this pastor. Yeah. And she was crying. It was serious, she was crying. And when she cried, I laughed the more. I said, this thing is. Am I a pastor now? God gave her the date. God called her and said, so date, I'll make him a pastor. And when I was made a pastor, she came to me and said, what is today's date? I said, yeah, that's the date they gave you. Exactly. So what we're talking about is not feeling. It has nothing to do with your feeling. But it is the truth that God knows what he has planned for you, which you don't know at the moment. But he knows that you get there. Praise the Lord. He knows you will what? Get there. He knows. So those of you who are praying to marry only doctors and engineers, she was praying for somebody who will help her make heaven. We don't hear that kind of prayer anymore. Pastor, that's what you teach them. They pray that kind of prayer. Lord, give me the husband that will help me make heaven. Yeah. Everybody's looking for, what did he study? And they're waiting. He's in medical school. Ah, praise the Lord. That's what the Holy Spirit told me. The Holy Spirit, I want to see Pastor Victor immediately. The Holy Spirit really told me that. That's my husband. Praise the Lord, I give you praise. Huh? Medical school. Ah! Lord, I lift up your heart. You know what they're talking? It's medical school. A generation that doesn't know God. They walk by sight and they can't please God. It's a serious thing. One time I was coming home, the Lord said to me, said, why did I say in the Bible that unless you're a doctor, I won't bless you? I said, why did I write it? Well, I said, why did I write it in the Bible unless you're an engineer, I won't bless you? He said, these things are mentality you people put and blocks me. Pushing your children, pushing them. Instead of letting me take care of them. You push them. Push them out of my will. If your son comes now and said, Mom, I'll be a pastor, many so-called Jim Christians will not be happy. I'm not kidding you, even in this church. They say, my son, what did you say? Say, Mom, I want to be a pastor. All right, I will see you later. In fact, make sure, what colleges are you applying to first of all? Let's discuss it. So the guidance, the inward witness, is that assurance that God gives you. It doesn't come from paper. It doesn't come from you. Who gives it to you? The Holy Spirit gives it to you. So you can't figure it out sometimes, but you know that this thing is, I have peace, I better have trouble here. So we say that's the primary way he leads us. And then the secondary way he leads us is by the word of God. It's by the word of God. By the word of God. And then the guidance by the word of God is very important too. Very, very important too. And then there are two major ways that the Holy Spirit will lead you by the word of God. The most important way that he leads us by the word of God is by your personal Bible study. If you don't do personal Bible study, you are missing a lot. This one we do is to kick you off, is to help you. But when you go down to one-on-one with him, that's when he opens your eyes more and teaches you more. Because that shows him that you are really interested in knowing. The one you come here may be because it's what we do. They say Sunday school teacher should come. Say, let me go. That doesn't show him you are serious. It doesn't show him. You go further to create time to say, Lord, I really want to know this thing. Then he opens your eyes. So that personal Bible studies that you do on a daily basis is, honestly speaking, you will not be able to grow spiritually unless you have a sound personal Bible study program. You will not be able. You will not be able. I'm telling you the truth. You will not be able to grow spiritually unless you have a personal one-on-one with the Holy Spirit that tells him, I'm serious about this thing. I want to know this thing. Teach me about it. And you consistently come for classes. We'll teach you. But if you don't have it, forget it. Your Christianity will be hee-haw. We'll go up, down, fall, down, go up. Today, you remember? You know, you don't remember? Up and down. And mostly, we'll be led by the flesh. Oh, yeah. I was telling them yesterday, I said, do you know why we Christians, we say that Jesus set us free, but people still walk as slaves of things. I say, because they don't know the truth. Because if you want to walk in freedom, then you must know what? The truth. If you don't continue and know the truth, you will not walk in freedom. I said, that's why people's character don't really change. It doesn't change nothing. Because they don't know the truth. Because it's not important to them. And God won't give you what is not important to you. He won't do it. Because you don't really want it. So this one-on-one, in Luke chapter 10, we read it somewhere, you know, verse 39. Luke chapter 10, verse 39. Her sister Mary, her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet. Where did she sit? Listening to what he... And you say, Pastor, where is the Lord? Take your Bible. Take your Bible and sit down. Carry your Bible. Sit down and say, Lord, I'm here for studies. Just carry your Bible. Make sure you make your notes. But I make notes and notes. I can be on one verse of scripture 4 days. I haven't moved. Making notes. And that's when you see, it's like you hit a treasure. The thing is going... He's going from scripture to this scripture to scripture, from this scripture to Old Testament, back to show you, do you know this one? Did you see this one? He's connecting the thing for you. You are still in one. I don't move until I drink, and I'm full, and I move. I know when I'm full. And that being full is not the end of the matter. More now, because he has shown you other things that will bring you back to that place, and then you begin to say, oh, wow. Oh, really? Do you know, church, that this week I had a deeper understanding of how God gives us things. And these things I've been reading and teaching, all of a sudden I'm going, wow. Wow. And I can't get away from it. I was studying the book of Hebrew. The Lord said, go back to Romans, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5. And I started Romans. For days I was on that thing. They said, go back to Galatia and go and see what I wrote in the book of Galatia. And the thing matched like this. Very easy to understand. Then he explained to me why. Okay, that part of it. All right. Praise the Lord. So Luke chapter 10, it says, her sister, Mary, sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught. Verse 40. Let's see another sister. But Martha was distracted by what? Big dinner. She was preparing. Now, remove big dinner. What else? Two jobs. Three. Book me. Supervisor, book me. In fact, when people come to job, you are not happy. Why did they come? Because they shouldn't have come. So they call you. Well, Bible says, I say, Pastor, I should have come. You know, I'm really very busy. Pastor, I'm so busy. The Lord understands. You are matter. I can't help it, but that's true. Church, let me tell you something. There is nothing that trumps the word of God. The day you face things in this life, you realize that all the money you save can't help you. That's where you know that I should have gone to this thing. I should have been there. Look at her. She would have died. Look at her there. She would have died if she didn't know the truth. She would have passed me the use of all the moments when nobody knew anything to do. She grabbed the word. She was dancing on Sunday. What will you pay for life? If it hit you, what will you do? Write checks? Wow. So, but Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, she even accused Jesus. You know, that's the life of people who don't grow spiritually. They blame people for their problems. They don't see. You know, my son who came to me and said, Daddy, he said, why is it that we find fault with people, we don't find our own fault? So why is it people find fault with others easily and see what they do wrong, but they don't see what they do themselves. I say it's the fallen nature. It's the carnal mind. It's the mind that is gripped and controlled by the flesh. It is called pride. Pride will blind you to your own fault and will exaggerate other people's fault. I say it's called pride. It's not the spirit of Christ. Because Jesus told us that people like that are hypocrites. Yeah? That's what he said. He said they're all hypocrites, pretending to be better than people. And so here is our sister Mary accusing Jesus. Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you?
What?
Unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? He's telling Jesus, you don't know what you're doing, sir. So you can't see that what you're doing is wrong. That is unfair to me. You are treating me unfairly. Then he gave Jesus command what to do. He said, sir, let me tell you what you need to do. Tell her to come and help. He was commanding the Lord. You do this. So between Jesus and her, who is the Lord now? She has become the Lord. He said, you don't know what you're doing, sir. You are not fair. Okay? So what you ought to do is, and that's the life of carnal people. They will always think they know better. Unteachable. Lack of humility. They will always assume that they know better. But mark the end of such people. Oh, church, make a mental note of such people. Mark how they end up. Because pride will take you up, but you will say what will do what? Crush them. Mark the end of suffering. The day it will come. So, the Lord said to her, my dear Martha now, Martha, Amabilishi, my dear Martha, you are worried and upset over what? Over what? I've moved on now. You are still in verse 40. I've moved on. But the Lord said to her, my dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. King James said, over many things. Verse 42. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has what? Discovered it. That's why she's here. And it will not be taken. He said, it is such a treasure to Mary that she won't give it up. That's what it means. He said, this thing is a treasure to her that she will fight for it. She won't give it up. So even if you tell me to tell her, she won't go. This thing is so important to her that you can't take it away from her. She won't release it. She discovered it. Everybody say, discover. Say it louder, discover. Discover. Have you discovered it yet? Have you discovered it yet? And in Acts chapter 17:11, it says, he's talking about this church in what do you call them? Berea. So these were more noble than those in Thessalonica. In that, see why they were more noble? In that they received the word with all readiness of mind and cite the scripture how? Church. How? How? Then. And the Holy Spirit said they were more noble. And they gave reasons why they were more noble. He says, in that they received the word with readiness of Christmas, they were attentive. It was important to them. They want to listen. And they will go home and cite the scripture how many times? Daily. Daily. They cite the scripture daily. Whether these things were so. Verse 12. See the result of it. Therefore, many of these them believed. also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. Their believing came from their personal encounter with the Holy Spirit, teaching them in their bedrooms, in their houses, wherever they sat down to open scripture to search it. That's where they got the thing. And have you ever read about the Thessalonian church? It's one of the best churches I ever saw. Let me show you this church that the Holy Spirit said that they are better than them. Please listen to their testimony here. This is 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 6. 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 6. Listen to this church now. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you were a sample to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God was spread abroad, so that we need not even speak anything. For they themselves show us what manner of entering we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. This is their testimony. Awesome. Awesome. But the Holy Spirit said, well, I found some people better than you. You are here, yeah. But maybe you started to take it for granted and you are no more studying the scripture. I said, these people are steady. They keep going. They keep going. They're doing it daily. Maybe if you think I've arrived. I've arrived. And the public ministry of the Holy Spirit is what we are doing now. Ephesians 4:11. Now these are the gifts Christ put in the church. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. And their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue on to welcome to the same, to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son, that will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. So their job is to teach. That's why the Bible says, if you want to be a pastor, you must be apt to teach. Because your job is to feed my sheep. Feed them. So, like we come here, Sundays, Bible studies, life centers, youth meetings, young adults meetings, all those meetings are meetings where the Holy Spirit will use people that have been appointed to lead them, to teach. Even in your family prayers, where the husband or the wife is teaching, it's a place the Holy Spirit also can teach in a public gathering like that. But after all of that, you must find time for a personal Bible study. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm asking you. Praise the Lord. Now, we talked about guidance by the voice of our own spirit now, because our own spirit talks. Your own spirit talks. Sometimes we forget that we are spirit beings. He that is born of the Spirit is what? Spirit. So we are born of God. We are born of the Spirit. We have a being that is a spirit being that is real you. That is real you. And that being talks, sings too. Now, 1 Corinthians 14:14. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit, I'm reading Amplified because that helps me to understand. Amplified, 1 Corinthians 14:14. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit, which is the born-again spirit, by the Holy Spirit within me that lives there, prays, but my mind is unproductive, it bears no fruit and helps nobody. And verse 15, then what am I to do? I will pray with my spirit. So if my spirit can pray, does it talk? Come on now. It talks. I pray with my spirit by the Holy Spirit that is within me, but I will also pray intelligently with my understanding. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing intelligently. So he says, the spirit within me prays, sings, and spirit is telling us. In every language, they say, my spirit is talking to me. Hebrew, like they say, Obim Nagwam. I don't know what Yorubas call it. When they say, my spirit is talking to me. So we know that our spirit talks to us. The mom now, that's my spirit is. Pastor, what do you say in Yoruba? You say your spirit is talking. Eh? What do you say? Eh? Ah, that's the spirit. What do you call it? Emi Bami Sora. Which means my spirit is. Which means even we know that our spirit talks to us. We know it now. So now, to be sure that your spirit is really talking to you, because when your spirit talks to you, it's inspired by the Holy Spirit that lives in you. To be sure that it's talking to you, you need to be patient. Don't jump to conclusion. It's not everything that comes to your mind you think God has said. You need to be patient. If you are patient with time, you'll be able to sort through it. If you are patient with time, before you start blabbing that God told you, you'll be able to sort what? You will see God come to help you. You say, oh, it wasn't even God. God will help you if you are patient. So judge it. To judge it. Give it time. Just don't be in a hurry. Give it time. And say, Lord, is this from you? I just want to be sure. It won't be long. You will realize that it may not be God. And you need a second witness. Like the peace of God that passeth. Yes. You need a second witness. So don't hurry in these things. That's how people make terrible mistakes. And they say, I thought it was God. And sometimes, you know, our passions, our desires can move us, and we say God is moving. Like I said, you see somebody say, sister, I want to marry. Say, what are you? Say, I'm in medical school. Okay, come and see my mother. When are we seeing Pastor Victor? He just told you. You know what is driving you? It's your ambition. Ambition is from men. Vision is from God. Ambition is from who? Men. But vision from God. Beware of ambition. Ambition is what you want to be, what you want, regardless of what God wants you to be. But vision is what God is showing you that he wants you to be. So sometimes our desire and our passions play a role, and we think it's God. But, you know, even inside we have this fight inside, you know, but we want to be cloudy because we still want to be that thing in trouble. So we need to really be careful what we say our mind is telling us. Be patient enough. And don't forget that the devil sometimes will come and whisper things into your heart. And you think it's God. He does that a lot. In fact, sometimes when I'm preparing a sermon, it tries to interject things that is not from God. So that's why I go through my sermons over and over, trying to see which one is God. And I'll say, whoa, this one is not from God. Out you go. Scripture, you digest it. Sometimes you want to take you off the topic. Just take you off the topic and cause confusion. You know, so you go through these things over and over, and you have to be patient. You need to be patient. Praise the Lord. So we talk about guidance by our conscience, especially when we sin. Now, it is not the Spirit of God that condemns anybody. For the Bible said that God did not send his Son into the world to what? To condemn the world. It's not the Spirit of God. It is not the same Jesus that gave us justification that will turn around and give us condemnation again. So, because the Bible said there's no condemnation for those who are. So it's not Jesus that is condemning us. It is our conscience. It's your conscience, it's my conscience that condemns us when we do what is wrong. And we talked about three types of conscience. What is the first one? Do you remember? Huh? I didn't hear you. Evil conscience. What is an evil conscience? It's a conscience that's not nurtured by the truth.